Colleen Hardwick is an internet entrepreneur, urban geographer, film producer, and the founder and CEO of PlaySpeak, a location-verified online community consultation platform. Before setting out on this most recent venture, Colleen trained in urban planning and also had a 20-year career in the film industry. As if running a tech startup doesn't take too much of her time, she's also currently pursuing her PhD at the University of British Columbia. Colleen joins us from Vancouver, and we're very happy to have her on the show. Thank you, Colleen, for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak with your audience, Matt.
I think this, I said to Kate this morning, this topic for the two of us, Kate works as a planner at the town of Canmore, and I do my own urban design work and things like that. And so this this topic is near and dear to our hearts. So we're very excited to dig in a little bit this morning.
Excellent.
So before I ask you about what kind of path takes you through the film industry and ends up in a planning-based tech startup, maybe we could just talk about the thing itself. What is PlaySpeak?
Well, PlaySpeak is a location-based consultation platform. It came out about as a result of trying to solve the problem of how do we consult with people online within specific geographical boundaries. Most of the time, when you're looking at things like land use change or transportation or school districts and catchment areas, almost everything is geographic in nature. But when we're consulting online, it's by and large anonymous and not place-based. So we wanted to try and create something that would allow us to make sure that when we were consulting with people online, we were speaking with the people that were in the affected area. And as a result, we're able to generate verifiable feedback data to inform the decision-making process.
And so when you say verified, what does that mean? Is that something that, do people just type in an address, or do you find other ways of ensuring that information is sort of accurate? How does that work?
Well, it's a multi-leveled process of verification. So I encourage everybody to go to www.playspeak.com, place as in play, speak as in speak, and register. And you'll find it's a very map-based interactive process. So there's processes going on in the background that are automated to make sure that the address that you enter is a real address. It's at a certain parcel identifier, a certain latitude, longitude. And we check for IP address fraud and things of that nature. People can then choose to add on additional layers of authentication. They can authenticate through their mobile device with their GPS, with an SMS PIN, with an audio PIN to their home phone numbers, for example.
Huh.
But it's sort of an incremental process to building greater authentication around individual identity. But it's really left up to the individual to determine how rigorous they want to be in their authentication. Some consultations require more authentication than others. Some are just happy to have as many people participate as possible, and others really want to pin down exactly that they're reaching the people in the affected area.
So once you've set up your profile as a citizen and you've had your authenticated location determined, what kind of activities do you do? What do you actually do on the site?
Well, I should point out this is still a fairly early stage technology company, so we're adding on new features all the time.
Okay, cool.
But what we have added recently in Calgary is our new neighborhoods function. So when people sign up, they will see in their profile my neighborhood, and these neighborhoods correspond with Calgary's traditional neighborhoods. And at that point, you're able to communicate with people that also live within the boundaries of your neighborhood. The central feature is a notice board, and you can do things like you would with a notice board. Upload, you know, I'm missing my dog, or can I borrow your lawnmower, can you recommend a babysitter, that kind of stuff. And you can also put things on an event calendar. So there's a block party or a garage sale. But most importantly, you can see other people that have registered and verified themselves within the neighborhood, and you can message them. We have heard a lot from people that they feel very disconnected from their neighborhoods. They don't know people that even live on their block. And so our hope was that we could use this online tool to really help people engage with one another within their neighborhoods. So neighborhoods is an important new feature for that. You can expect to be notified about consultations that are coming up in your area that are relevant to you. And when you set up your profile, you choose by distance, keyword, and frequency what you want to be notified about. So I can say, for example, I want to be notified about anything to do with housing within a kilometer. And I want to know right away or once a week, or I don't want to receive any email notifications at all. We really do try and put it up in the hands of the individual to determine their notification settings. But notification is really the first step in engagement. If you don't know about it, and we hear this all the time from people, I wasn't notified, I didn't know anything about it, nobody consulted with me. So the intent here, gradually we're working on automating notifications from different sources. We're starting with land use change, things like rezonings and development permits, because those are the most obviously geographic. But the automation has just begun, starting with the city of Victoria, just in the last six weeks, I guess. And we've started to roll that out in Vancouver and Surrey here in British Columbia. But the intent is, as we can obtain feeds of information through open data catalogs or through building scrapers, if anybody knows what that is, it will make it possible for us to start delivering all different kinds of notifications to people based on where they live. And so if you think about it, one more thought on that, as Canada Post stops delivering mail to people's houses,
right,
this approach is going to become super important.
Yeah, you can see it as you describe it. Both the function of the commons, the sort of neighborhood commons that you described with the neighborhoods feature, but also this this question of signal noise that everyone seems to be wrestling with these days in terms of, yeah, sure, I mean, I could have known about these, you know, planning applications, but what am I going to do, sift through all of the different, you know, land use changes that are happening in the city, or, you know, how is someone supposed to make sense of all of that information? And I think what's really cool about the way you've set up the tool is that you give people a lot of different ways of finding signals that are relevant to them amidst that noise, by location or, as you say, by topic. So I can, you know, if you're someone who's just really interested in trains, and, you know, you want to know about everything to do with trains in your whole region, I guess you could set it up that way. Is that right?
Yes, as a keyword, you would put in trains or rail or whatever that is, and if it pops up, then it's going to deliver a notification to you on that basis.
Super interesting. So a lot of your work so far, I guess, in this, because we've had online forums for a very long time, so it seems like what PlaySpeak has done that's different is this idea of location verification and authenticity. Is that true?
Well, yeah, that's the place in PlaySpeak. And it is absolutely critical, because when you're trying to build legitimacy around an online process, I believe you cannot do that unless there is a basis of verification. Anonymity breeds contempt, I often say, and that's why we've seen the rise of the trolls. Anything controversial these days is overrun with trolls, people acting inappropriately online, bullying people, of course, famously. And what we found is that people don't do that once they've gone through a verification process. Recently, we did a pilot with News 1130 here in Metro Vancouver around the recent transit referendum you may have heard about.
Okay.
The one in Surrey.
Well, Surrey, it was for all of Metro Vancouver, the 22 municipalities plus First Nations in the area.
So a reasonably complicated question.
Yeah, do you want an extra 0.5% tacked on to your sales tax to fund transit in the area, was the question, and specifically the mayor's plan around transit in the area. And we ran our forum. We ran the poll, first of all, from February when the whole thing started until the end of May when it closed. And what we found were two things. One, first of all, our poll results were bang on. We were within 0.03%. of the outcome in our polls, which was astonishing.
And wow, that's tremendously powerful.
Yeah, especially with all the, you know, controversy around the accuracy of political polls at the moment. That's really interesting.
But this is a different approach. I call it post-panel. The market research firm and political polling process use panels, which are closed as opposed to PlaySpeak, which is an open and transparent process. So it's a very different way of collecting data from citizens, but it does kind of prove out the thesis around wisdom of crowds. So that was a very interesting learn. Yeah. But moreover, we've had 900 and almost 1,000 comments in the discussion forums with no trolls.
Wow. That's a monumental achievement these days, well, I would say.
This is just a pilot. But when you contrast that with the comments section in any online media, whether it's, in this case, it's coming from radio, but you could equally say it from television or print, again, overrun with trolls. And I attribute that to the fact that they have not had to go through any verification process, and as a result, they act inappropriately. So if we're trying to build reasonable discourse, which is a key element of democratic theory, really, and building legitimacy, we need to be able to authenticate people. But at the same time, we have to protect individual privacy in order to similarly be legitimate.
Right. So, and this is something I guess I think maybe sometimes people mix up anonymity and privacy, because in this case, like you're saying, that the people who are participating are not anonymous, but they can still retain privacy.
People can choose in their settings to be publicly anonymous in consultation, so they can choose. Hmm. If I want to participate in that discussion, I can choose to be anonymous. But what we found in that News 1130 discussion was that fewer than 5% of the participants chose to be anonymous.
Interesting.
I have a question. This is Kate speaking, Colleen. Great to chat with you this morning. Is because this the verification process and how that contributes to reasonable discourse is really fascinating, but it only works if people go through it and actually participate through by using the tool. How have you, has that verification process needing to sign up with another password, have you found uptake by a broad range of demographics, or is PlaySpeak really hitting home with a certain sector of our citizenry?
Well, great question, and it's still early days, but what we've seen is it depends on the nature of the consultation. So, for example, let's talk about Surrey. You brought up Surrey a minute ago. Surrey School District has been using PlaySpeak now for a couple of years. They're on to their third consultation now. And so the type of person that's going to participate there, well, they're going to be parents, and they're going to be concerned about their kids' education. So that's going to go pretty much across the spectrum, but it's going to be people of a demographic that have school-age children. But that's going to be different than the people that might participate in a transit referendum or in something to do with a real estate development or parks and recreation. So because we're seeing such a broad range of different kinds of consultations, they bring in a similarly disparate group or spectrum of participants. And that's what it's all about from where I'm sitting. If we were to do just one segment or one vertical, then I would agree with the assessment that we would be getting a very skewed sample. But because this is being used so broadly within all different kinds of communities, the objective is to, again, build critical mass through cross-pollinating between different kinds of topics and ultimately making it citizen-centered. And, you know, people can carry their PlaySpeak credentials with them. We've also built what's called an API, or Application Programming Interface. So third-party websites and application software can plug PlaySpeak in to use to location verify their respondents. So we're actually encouraging that. It's free to use, but if you want to do a petition, for example, in an area, and you want to make sure that you're only getting people that are in the affected area, you could actually use PlaySpeak to to verify the location of respondents to that petition. So my point is really that we're trying to roll this out as broadly as possible, so it becomes really a utility that all different kinds of people can use.
That's very interesting. So I guess, where have you seen demand for the same kind of, like, I just can imagine all, like you say, sorry, I'm just imagining all the potential for this, to be able to have forums with respectable discussion in them seems like something that a lot of different groups would desire, a lot of different processes would desire, something that would be part of government as well. Are you looking towards being involved in the democratic process, or, you know, there's all sorts of talk that still happens about online voting and this kind of thing. Does this technology inhabit that world at all?
Absolutely. You know, you can obviously project once you've started to get people geolocated and going through a digital identity authentication process, you can add more and different layers of authentication. You know, you can do the obvious sending a PIN code in the mail and adding any database. For example, in British Columbia, I'm looking at the Property Assessment Authority. There's an identifier number on your assessment notice. If you put that in, we want to be able to verify on a yes, no, or pass-fail basis. Does that person own that property? And would love to do it with our BCID program, which combines your driver's license and care card. In each case, we don't want your private information. We just want to know, is it on a yes-no basis? So I point this out because incremental and distributed identity authentication is, in my view, essential as we move towards online voting. So one thing I didn't mention, since the beginning of PlaySpeak, when we started our pilot projects in the summer of 2011, so 4 years ago on a prototype, we have done this with the support of the National Research Council of Canada, through their IRAP program, which is the Industrial Research Assistance Program. Our first project was our technology validation. Then we did the API. Then we did open data for authenticating, for automating the delivery of notifications. And our most recent project is PlaceVote, which is a online voting platform that works through PlaySpeak. So it's in prototype right now. But we are moving in that direction. We believe that we can start with hyper-local decision-making. You used to be able to do neighborhood petitions here. For example, if you wanted to get a traffic circle for traffic calming in your neighborhood, you would get a petition of homeowners within a range of addresses that would consent to that because it would affect their property taxes. To me, this is an example of how you can use a tool like PlaySpeak that does authenticate to place for hyperlocal decision-making that is political in nature.
I have a question which kind of builds off that but goes a little bit more off the train of thought around how PlaySpeak fits in within our democratic system and how slowly our tools are evolving as society changes. You know, within democracy, we need citizens with the skills to be able to engage, and the tools we've used sort of build certain types of skills. So for example, you know, when you're talking about land use decisions, Colleen, the big tool that we've used are public hearings, which the skills that leads to are positioning against or for something, gathering people, getting the word out. And
Public speaking
and essentially kind of stopping things. Not so much that reasonable discourse that you've talked about. How do you see PlaySpeak cultivating a different set of citizen tools that can help move our democracy towards more reasonable discourse?
Are you familiar with the IAP2?
I am, yeah. A little bit.
I'm not. Could you tell me what that is briefly? Sorry.
The IAP2 is the International Association for Public Participation. And they have something called the Spectrum of Public Impact, and it's inform, consult, involve, collaborate, empower. And so it's not a clear path, but it does set out the steps quite nicely. People need to be informed in the first place. If they're not informed, they can't participate. But once they're informed, then they can be consulted in a variety of forms. They can receive feedback from polls or surveys. A whole range of different kind of activities. Involving is really about bi-directional communication, involving people in dialogue, for example. And there's even within the realm of dialogue, there's all sorts of different refinements that can be going on in deliberation. And then there's collaborate, which I look at as more as things like design charrettes, mm-hmm. or open innovation ideation, where people are workshopping ideas to come to a deliberative outcome as opposed to an aggregative outcome, which is what Empower is. Empower is direct decision making, including online voting. Because there's really two kinds of democracy in there. There's the executive, the ones that get the most votes win, versus deliberative, which is all about coming up with the best solution to serve the greater good. I mean, I've been working on a framework around building legitimacy in e-democracy, and there's really key points in that. There's inclusiveness, there's popular control, and that's where citizen engagement really comes in, which is effective control over decision-making, but that can be deliberative, and that ties into the third point, which is considered judgment. People have to be, of course, informed and educated in order to enter into a reasonable and civil discourse. The process has to be transparent because people will not have confidence in the accountability of it absent that. And trust, I would argue, is the biggest single problem mm-hmm. that we have in our democracy today.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, one of the things that we're bringing by bringing this process on time is online is making it more efficient and more manageable for people. And ultimately, transferability is a key component of that because the internet is not limited by scale. You know, once we've got the identity and privacy missing pieces worked out, then when you think about it, information communications technology can advance our democracy in ways that were never before possible. But it does come from having people become informed and educated so that they can enter into that reasonable discourse in the first place, so that the decisions and the policies that are developed are genuinely in the interest of the greater good.
And I'd argue that interest in being informed and educated and commitment to making yourself so is actually the hardest part of democracy.
But people don't feel that they can have any effect on the outcome.
Right. It's hard to foster that if you don't mm-hmm. have the right mechanics in place to support that energy when it's there.
Well, yeah, because mm-hmm. looking at municipal elections, 30% vote of eligible voters. That means 70%, the vast majority, don't vote. When you ask people, sure there's voter apathy out there, but by and large, people don't participate because they don't believe that they can have an impact on the outcome. They think all the decisions are foregone conclusions and that they're only going through the consultation because it's a box on some form they've got to check.
Right. So, I mean, we're talking now about the sort of hyper-decentralization of information in this sense and hyper-decentralization of decision-making. On the other hand, where we do have governments who are looking to effectively govern from a position of authority, how have you found that they are using your tool, I guess, to, like, what is the benefit to someone who's asked to make a decision on behalf of a group of people of this kind of platform?
Well, I guess it depends on whether the decisions are foregone conclusions. You know, I'm looking at governments that are using market research panels masquerading as public consultation because it'll give them the outcomes that they're looking for,
right?
Quite frank. So the more enlightened ones, the ones that genuinely are interested in receiving feedback from their citizens, those are the ones that I'm interested in trying to find that because that will advance it and prove out the thesis more broadly and so that it'll become more accepted. But it's a tough one because government, and that includes politicians and bureaucrats alike, they like to keep that control, and they're not really in a big hurry to necessarily receive public input in a way that might change their desired outcome. So we've got a long way to push this boulder up the hill.
So it's sort of you may wish for information, but be careful what you wish for in that sense, because you might get you know, mm-hmm. like actual participation is what you're saying.
What a concept.
Could you imagine? So I'm curious just a little bit about the neighborhoods department, the neighborhoods function, I guess, that you've added to PlaySpeak recently, and particularly because you've decided to pilot this in Calgary. So this is particularly relevant to the folks here. And I'm curious about what drove the idea to launch something that wasn't necessarily topic-based, that was just connecting about connecting neighbors, and why here? Why in Calgary?
Well, PlaySpeak has been used in, I think, 8 different consultations in Calgary by all different proponents. It's been largely companies, consulting, planning, and engineering firms like Stantec and Vanderzam and Context. They have brought PlaySpeak in to use in things ranging from recycling to skate parks to transportation, transit, and so on. So there was a good base of users that had been established in Calgary to start with. And when we looked around, we found that Calgary's neighborhood boundaries were well-defined, and there's also a very strong community of interest around neighborhoods, so the Federation of Calgary Communities, for example. And so it made sense to go somewhere where those conditions were pre-existing.
Right.
Starters. Then in terms of why we develop neighborhoods, well, think of it this way. If you've got a two-sided model and you've got to wait for proponents to come along to consult with people, so the proponent needs to consult with participants, the many, many participants that are out there, then what are the participants going to do in between consultations? They need to stay engaged in their communities. So for that reason, we started to think about what can we do that will enable people to be interacting with one another within the boundaries of their hyper-local areas, being their neighborhoods. And so that's the reason that we developed the neighborhoods feature. And again, it was this perfect storm of a good base of users, and through a number of different consultations that had come in, a well-defined network of neighborhoods that led us to Calgary. I've also heard rumor that your mayor is very progressive and very tech savvy, so I was hoping perhaps that he might take notice and see what we're doing, because champions like Mayor Nenshi would be a real advantage to PlaySpeak and its adoption.
Has at PlaySpeak tweeted at Nenshi?
We did on Neighborhood Day.
Great.
Saturdays ago?
Oh, yeah. That was a busy day here.
Yeah.
We're celebrating.
We've gotten lost in the mix.
Cycle tracks and all sorts of cool stuff. So, I mean, I think what's cool about the neighborhoods function is that, and essentially what you just described, what I heard is that instead of, like, you're trying to build a community hall in a digital sense where people can go without there having to be some kind of problem. So, like, if it was just topic-based, it would be sort of like a tent that you set up whenever there's a problem or a big change. And that, you know, when the tent's up, you act a certain way in that kind of environment. And so if you build a hall for people to, you know, talk about pets and small things, and maybe would you characterize it as sort of practice? Is it like practice in being a citizen in a lower key kind of environment, so that you're better equipped when something heavy comes along? Is that like do you expect that the dialogue will improve even further with something like neighborhoods in place?
Well, that's the theory. I mean, if people start talking,
right,
it changes the dynamic. You know, I've just recently rolled this out in my neighborhood, and there was a problem with off-leash dogs. Apparently a big German Shepherd killed a duck out on the park across the street, and everybody was freaked out about it, and trying to figure out, as a hyper-local community, this neighborhood. We have an off-leash dog beach near here, and I'm happy to have the off-leash dogs down there, but when they come into other areas, and especially when they start killing wildlife, we as a community feel that we need to do something about it. So we just started talking. What do we do? you know, maybe we post, you know, use your phone and take pictures of people that are letting their dogs off in the wrong places and posting. We don't know, but at least it got the neighborhood talking.
Right. And it's about something that's meaningful to people, but ultimately isn't as serious as, say, you know, an oil pipeline.
Yeah, well, we also had at one point last year, there had been a proposed bike lane through the park, and that would have been an example had this been up and running at the time, where I think the neighborhood would have galvanized around it in a way that would have been more controversial.
It's interesting because people will use the tools at hand. For example, when you're talking about off-leash dogs, there's a Facebook group in Canmore called CRAP, Canmore Residents Against Poop, and around this very issue of off-leash dogs in parks and in wildlife areas. And so, you know, it's a municipal issue that the municipality has been, in general, working on how do we improve human use practices in our wild spaces, which is a very important issue in Canmore. And, you know, it wasn't the municipality that set up this Facebook group, but that is a tool that people have access to, and they created it on their own. And they, you know, anyone can go check that out on Facebook. And they were posting photos of people with dogs off leash and so forth, which is, you know, the public shame piece is kind of interesting, but it certainly got a conversation started.
Were you aware there is the first place week consultation in Canmore?
I am aware.
Mm-hmm. Is that like in progress right now or about to start up?
Well, they haven't really promoted it. It's the Smith Creek Area Structure Plan. It just launched a couple of weeks ago, and it's as far as I haven't seen any, you know, press releases or anything around it. I know that this has been an ongoing discussion, but they embedded a PlaySpeak widget iframe right into the Smith Creek Planning website that then you can click through and it takes you to the actual consultation page.
Yeah, I'm working on that project, which is something I was interested in when Matt mentioned that you're coming on the show. And it's very early in the process, so it's development of an area structure plan. And so I think that the use of the tool, that people are excited about it, and it's, you know, there's been advertisements and it has been pushed a little bit, but it will take, I think, as, you know, planning processes sometimes take a bit of time till you get to the meat of it.
Yeah.
And so the take up and engagement kind of comes in ebbs and flows. And so I'm excited to see how that tool will help us as we get deeper into the process.
Well, we probably should layer in neighborhoods. If somebody can get us neighborhood boundaries for Canmore, we can layer them in as well. I was also talking recently to a civic official in Chestermere, who seemed to be quite progressive and interested in this approach. So,
how have in other places, Colleen, like in Vancouver, how have you driven? How have you found like uptake? How does it spread? Because like you say, you know, that the engagement works if people have created these identities on the site. How do you, like, do you do advertisements outside of online? Do you try and go through, is the proponents, do those typically drive that? Where, or is it word of mouth? How has that grown in your experience?
Well, again, we're a startup, right?
Yeah.
We don't have an advertising budget. We've depended on our proponents to spread the word, and it depends on who they are. You know, Surrey Schools, you got a school board. They can do flyers and kids' backpacks and posters in community centers. They can, you know, they'll put out a press release. They've got big email lists through their through the various parent and community organizations. So they've really done the recruiting initially, but then again, once people are in, they invite, it's infinitely shareable, it's all social media integrated, so people can invite their neighbors. And
right, once you're in, you make it easy to spread the seed of PlaySpeak.
And you know, ultimately I'm working on, I've got a meeting on this today, working on things like trying to create incremental rewards for people, because we want to encourage people to become more engaged. So, you know, I'm not talking about badges or cheesy things like that. This is about becoming more of an influencer. So I'm thinking about things like the more verified you are, the more influential you are, the more surveys or discussion forums you participate in. You know, there's got to be some way of encouraging that kind of positive behavior. So I haven't figured out yet, but I'm working on it.
So you can some way, once now that you have this sort of general accountability, how do you now build reputation in some sense and respect?
Totally agree. I think it's an essential component, but I've been trying, you know, you start with a prototype and then you beta test it and then you go 1.0, 3.0, and that's, you know, we're now getting at the point. I liken it to actually building a building. You put down the foundation, the walls go up, the roof goes on, and, you know, now we're getting to the part where we can do some decorating.
Right. Right. So you're now looking at PlaySpeak sofas and, paint swatches.
Right, what's the color palette?
That must be rewarding for you after, you know, at least a four-year process to get to that point where you can, you know, sit on your new couch.
Well, it's been really exciting. Again, I encourage people to go sign up and try our new sign-up process because it's way more interactive. In the beginning, it was just, you know, here's a form, fill in the form with your address. Now it starts with a map of the world, and you enter your country, and then you zoom in there, and then you enter your province, and you zoom in there, and then your city, and then it zooms right down to where you are, and then it's using, if there is a GPS, you know, depending on what device you're using, it's going to look to further help authenticate you that way. And it's just been so much more fun and interactive than where we started, but you've got to rough it in, and then you can start to elaborate on it over time.
Then you can make the fabulous global citizen entry point.
Yes, and again, the potential for that over time is enormous. If you actually go to PlaySpeak on the homepage, there's a map with green dots, you'll see, and then zoom out to the world level, you'll see we now have green dots all over the world. We've had consultations now, we're as far east as Wolfville, Nova Scotia in Canada now, but we've got four in the United States, you know, down to Orange County, Florida, and we've got our first one in the UK in Belfast and Northern Ireland, and our first one's in Australia in Tasmania in Hobart.
Wow.
So we are starting to see this little Canadian technology concept spreading around the world.
That must be tremendously exciting. Congratulations on how that's been going for you. That's tremendous. Final question for you, Colleen, and that's just how can people find out more, figure out if this is something that they want to become a part of, and so they can help spread the word?
Go to playspeak.com, places and play, speak as in speak. Register. If you want to set up a consultation topic, you just go start a topic, and you can play with the tools, and it'll take you through a little, you know, walkthrough tour, and there's plenty of video tutorials as well. Familiarize yourself, and we do charge a fee for setting up topics, but you don't have to do that until you go to publish it, because it's the act of publishing it that pushes it out to, you know, notify people in the area. So we arrived at that model because we knew we couldn't do advertising.
Right.
Advertising is the first reason that people don't want to provide their address. They don't want to be direct marketed to, and they don't want their data sold. So we arrived at this as the best model for people that want to proponents or people that want to conduct consultations.
Awesome. Well, I hope people who are listening are tuning in and logging on, I guess, signing up and creating another little green dot on the map for some neighborhood consultation. I hope in, you know, the next generation that we will have wonderful, respectful dialogue throughout the internet, but we'll, you know, we'll just keep our fingers crossed.
Well, it's a worthy objective, and I believe personally that it is achievable.
Wonderful. Well, Colleen, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. It was great speaking with you, and good luck with the further development of your building and all of its furnishings.
Thanks so much, you guys.
Take care.
Cheerio.